We're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 1 again, and we'll be continuing where we left on Sunday evening. The knowledge of God comes with great knowing. It comes with great promises. It comes with great blessings for us. Now, do we understand what the knowledge of God is? The knowledge of God, if I could put it simple, it'd be the knowledge of our parents. We want to get to know our parents, our loved ones. For example, when I met Kelly 20-some years ago, I wanted to know her favorite color, her favorite food. What were her parents like? What type of character did she have? One of my first greatest impressions on her was when I needed to go to the dentist and she offered to take me. Just that sacrificial heart that she had. We want to get to know those that we love. We want to know the friends, who they hang around with. And that is part of wanting to know who our God is, who will reveal it only in the Scripture. We can read in Matthew when Peter was giving an answer to Jesus' question when Jesus was asking, "Who am I?" Peter said, "You are the Christ." Peter revelates that Jesus Christ is God. So we know from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. So it's only God that's going to reveal his knowledge to us. And where does the knowledge of God start? By obtaining that like precious faith that Peter has through salvation, a personal testimony of Jesus Christ. And if we don't each have that personal testimony of Jesus Christ, now is the time to do that. We should all also understand the mission of God. The mission of God is stated simply that he wishes all men to be saved and to come unto knowledge of the truth. And we're all here today to learn more about God, to come into his knowledge of the truth. Jesus wishes that we all one day would be able to spend eternity with him. And another thing that would help our knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Savior is to understand the Gospels, the life of Jesus. We can think of the time after his resurrection, he was on the road to Emmaus, and he was teaching those two people all about him, all about his stories from the Old Testament to the New Testament. He was revealing all this to them. So through the Bible, we can grow in the knowledge of God. So the purpose is obviously to grow in the grace and knowledge of God and to discern truth. We can read throughout 2 Peter, he's warning us of fake teachers, false teachers, people that aren't quite right. We all will be standing in front of him. God made us the omniscient, the omnipotent, the omnipresent, the eternal, the divine God. He created us. What would be more important than knowing about him? We as Christians should have a desire to continue to grow towards him while the world is rejecting him, and we can see how the world is turning. Let's read verses 5 and 6 and 7, starting here. It says, "And beside this," now beside this, he's talking about verse 3 and 4, all the things he has given to us, those precious promises all throughout Genesis to the book of Revelation. He promises so much, thousands of promises. So besides this, all the promises, all the faith that he's given us, we could be partakers of the divine nature. He's given all this, but besides all that, we are to give all diligence to add to that faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, let that soak in for a minute. We're starting with faith, and it goes to virtue from faith. Virtue is an incredible thing to try to conquer. But we got to remember, he's saying be diligent. Diligence requires a lot of trying. It requires persistent and careful work. It takes an effort to do this. To have that virtue is having moral right. We know what's right, we know what's wrong, and we need to always do what's right. We can't be hiding in the closet thinking no one's going to see us, because guess what? Who's seeing us in all our troubles and all our sins? It's God who's seeing us. So to have that virtue, virtue is simply being honest, respectful, courageous, because sometimes it's tough to be courageous in the world we live in. Forgiving and kind, doing what is right. And life can be tough, and I know it's going to be, we have to show courageous times when we are being persecuted, when we are out in this world, because blessed are those that are persecuted. We don't see many people dying an old life. Peter mentions his death from the crucifixion upside down. That would be something that we would have to have some virtue to go through. From virtue, we're going to add knowledge. Knowing, we shouldn't be ignorant. The Bible says ignorance is a sin. Have you heard, what's that saying? I know enough just to be dangerous. It's not what you know that's making you dangerous. It's what you're not knowing that makes you dangerous. From knowledge, we have to add temperance, self-control. Do we lose our temper a lot when we get cut off in traffic? I won't tell you that story. But self-control is a huge part. Having control of our own lives. Being patient. Having perseverance. Not quitting when times get tough. Godliness. Are we showing godly characteristics? We can turn into Galatians and read the fruits of the Spirit there. Brotherly kindness. We can think of the great commandment that Jesus told us to love our neighbors. We know we have to love if we're going to represent Jesus. And from charity, from brotherly kindness to charity, which is a deeper type of love, an agape type of love, the only love that God could have, the love that shows that we would die for one another. For if these things abound in you, there's another tough thing to do, have all that stuff increase in our lives. Let's go back to Sunday night. If I continued in my mechanics class, small mechanics, learning about lawnmowers and all the little trades and doohickeys that make them operate, I would have to maybe go to a class, maybe take out some books, start reading what causes one thing to move and one thing to operate. I'd probably start dressing, maybe wearing overalls so I don't get my clothes dirty. I might have a little bit of grease on my head, maybe a cut from a hood falling down, maybe a little bit of grease smeared on my face. I'd smell like gasoline and maybe clumps of grass. Kelly's nodding her head because she's probably seen me looking like that before. So the smell of gas and oil and dirt and grass would be on me. I'd be wearing my overalls and maybe my knuckles would be skinned. I'd start speaking like a mechanic would speak. I'd be giving directions and helping my friends out, how I could help diagnose their problems. And by increasing in the qualities that we've listed in the scripture tonight, we should start resembling what those characters are. We should start showing virtue. and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness, brotherly kindness and charity. I apologize, my microphone slipped down, so you guys might not have heard me too well out there. We should be representing godliness. We should be representing that divine nature that Peter is talking to us about. Peter preached to Christians through the knowledge of God, the benefits that was given to believers. And he's adding fruits and qualities that should be seen outwardly that established a physical knowledge of God. We have today still given these qualities. I can see these qualities in each one of us. Do we have enough evidence that shows we have these qualities that are given? Do we have the grease on her face, the scratches on her heads, the smell of grass and oil and gas on us? Do we have the love, the brotherly love, the kindness, the temperance, the virtues, the faith? Are we abounding in that? Let's stick with verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does that verse give you the chills at all? Maybe a little bit. Our faith must grow. We are saved to grow. We are justified to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. To go, teach, and baptize. The great commandment, the great commission, is something us Christians need to do. In closing, has anybody else written their letter to God, their little love note? I did on Sunday night, but it was all about the fruits of the Spirit asking them to come inside of me. I urge each one of us to go home, focus on all these qualities. Let them increase in the knowledge of God, in Jesus Christ our Savior. We are put here for a reason. Peter warns us in this last epistle that he wrote before his death. We can know how important last words are. Keep this in remembrance. Keep this in our hearts. Let God's countenance show on you. Have you guys been to the store? You've seen people walking around with a smile on their face, a glow, maybe not like a glow Moses might have had. We can do it. We can be Christians. We can be someone that when we stand in front of God, he will say, good job, well and faithful servant. I think it's Numbers chapter 6, but I don't have it memorized yet, about countenance. So I urge you to look at that tonight. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your word. We thank you for urging us to get into your word. We know you've inspired it. You know you want us all to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So keep softening our hearts. Keep breaking our hearts for things that break yours. Keep guiding us and directing us in your steps. Keep helping us acknowledge you in all we do. We love you, and only by your grace and mercy can we have eternal life. So comfort us. Give us safe travels home tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.